It's a flex. Time is 7:01 live, no Memorex. May 13th, 2021. Flex ATX, Snoop Daniel. A smorgasbord of guests tonight. We're going to talk about this weekend's Warrior State Qualifying Tournament. Kids call it State Sevens. Some call them SQTs. It's all a chance to punch your ticket to go to College Station in the ultimate Summer 707 tournament for Texas. And this is the only state that Texas high school football represents like this. Austin area, covered like no one else. Okay, tonight, real quick, let me tease who we got coming up. By the way, Zach Lucero making his way in. Nolan Hogan in the building, sipping on lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink. What up? Say something.
What's poppin', Snoop? How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming. Of course, people know him as Aaron Hogan's son, but he's making a name for himself. I want to congratulate you real quick, Nolan, on the job that you've done as a correspondent for Flex here from that incredible Hayes State Final Four run, which you lost to eventual state champion Katie. They were on a mission. That's okay.
Right, right.
Who'd have thunk it? Walking.
Yeah, that was such a crazy run they had going into the late into the season. We saw the matchups they had, and everyone doubted them every round they went, and they just kept winning.
And then Hayes baseball, you know, it ended in the first round, but they had a good season.
Right, yeah, they had a great start of the season, had a good hot run, went 1-1 with Bowie, went 1-1 with Westlake, lost 0-2 to Lake Travis, but they had good series with all the good teams in the district.
Absolutely. So now the name has changed. I think we can finally put Rebels to rest.
Right, yeah, I think we can transition to the Hawks now.
Now it's appropriate. And I remember late we were still saying RPND, and some people were like, hey, it's not the Rebels anymore. I'm like, no, it's still the Rebels.
Yeah.
Not anymore. So anyway, so I say all that to say Westwood SQT coming up. You'll be there doing the stories. You do such a great job. I'm glad that you're on the team, Nolan. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
All right. Up on the show tonight, as I introduce Zach Lucero, the co-host, we'll break down the guests that are on the show tonight. Sky Mendez, quarterback for the Glen Grizzlies. Zach, you've seen the gear that he represents with. This guy, Sky, is a vibe.
I don't know if y'all can hear this, but we got like bags and bags. Like people say, go get your bag. Skyler brought it to us.
Sky Mendez, class of 23. He's going to be on the show.
YK Sky.
725. Check him out. This dude's the future. All right. Okay. So, y'all, we going. I love tonight's show because it's so different. We got a gold medal winner on the show tonight. Emily Fitzsimmons, Lake Travis Cavaliers. She's a junior. She won a state 6A gold medal in the pole vault coming up at 7:30.
And I'm low-key a pole vault expert. My roommate in college for 3 years has all the pole vault records at Incarnate Word.
A word?
So I'm well-versed.
No pun intended, word.
Yeah.
Michael Ramos, this kid went off this year for the Pflugerville Panthers. We didn't see a lot of press about Pflugerville, and we all know since baseball is at the tail end of the school year, a lot of times it gets lost in senioritis and regular coverage. But the job that Michael Ramos did for the Panthers this year, outstanding. He's coming up on the show 7:35.
Yeah, Pflugerville baseball is kind of low-key.
Yes.
A very consistent program. I mean, back in my day, when I was there and that Hendrickson-Pflugerville rivalry
but
first
Hendrickson
kind of got back up. Yeah, Hendrickson and Pflugerville and just the kind of the guys that come out of Pflugerville, you're talking big time, like next level players.
Yes.
Coming out of schools like Pflugerville and Hendrickson.
And I really can't explain, you know, I think it's because Round Rock area baseball is so dominant that sometimes Pflugerville gets lost in a flush because
if they weren't in the same district with Round Rock schools, you would hear way more about them.
Yeah. Coming up at 7:40, we're talking about our guests tonight on Flex. You know, what we do is we showcase student athletes from the Austin area, from all sports. Keeping it baseball, Ben Merriman, the outstanding outfielder, super sophomore, recent Texas State verbal commit from the Bowie Bulldogs, coming up at 7:40.
I think this year might really be like unprecedented in terms of sending baseball players to big-time universities. Yeah. after high school.
Indeed, and he'll be joining Ryder Hernandez one day at Texas State as well. So we'll talk to him about that. I am looking forward to every interview, but I'm super-duper excited. Caroline Dill of the Dripping Springs Tigers, soccer girls goalie, the state finals MVP and the state 5A Player of the Year, Caroline Deal. She is a big deal, coming up on the show at 7:45.
Yeah, I know this is a guest that you've been looking forward to for a while, and she has a really good story to tell, so I'm excited to hear about what all went into the success that she had this year.
Yeah, the story is going to blow your mind, and we might have to push our girl Kaylin Westbrook back a bit, because it's a big-time story with Caroline Deal. But Kaylin Westbrook, not only a Flex ATX I reporter during the football season, but an all-district performer for an area-round finisher for Eastview Softball Patriots coming up 7:50 tonight.
Really one of the only teams, you can even kind of quote that and say, one of the only teams that really started to give Leander a run for their money a couple of times in those matchups. Those were the matchups that you kind of had circled was the Eastview-Leander softball games this year.
I want to say that's the only game that Leander won by two runs or less. I think it was a 3-1 win over Eastview. You'll have to, and I'm sure like Kaylin will tell me. Paul Rodriguez, we got him back, missed him last week. A lot of recruiting news. We'll talk with Paul, 805 of Recon Athlete.
Yeah, it's really starting to boom. I mean, I think just Snoop's hands are going numb trying to recruit people's or trying to post people's offers on Instagram stories Twitter. And it's still, we're still tuned in to the Braylon James show. It seems to be a marathon going on right now.
Between him and Bo Edmondson, it's like bam, 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 bam.
And Nwabuku. Che.
Oh, Che. Yeah, yes. Che Nwabuku. We can't forget about him because he's
on one as well.
He's on a heater right now. So we'll talk recruiting. Ashton Strasser how do I pronounce his last name? Is it Strasser or
Strasser?
Strasser. Okay, I knew I. Thank you.
Yeah, you had it right.
Thank you. Okay, thing. Ashton Strasser coming up. But he's a junior. He actually led the Johnson Jaguars in a shortened COVID season in football. He's the younger brother of Mizzou volleyball signee Trista Strasser. And this guy likes to hit.
This is one of the guys. He was at Hayes when I was a senior, so he was a freshman. And he was just one of those kids you just see him flying around, throwing his head into things and having fun.
Safely,
obviously. Yes. Within the tackling guidelines.
You could always see his target.
Yeah. He had his head up, but he was throwing it into things.
No flags thrown on Ashton. Last but not least, another interview I'm super stoked about. Now, she didn't win state, but she got runner-up from the Vandegrift Vipers, Mimi Burton, another super sophomore. Vandegrift as a whole finished amongst the state finalists with Westlake. They eventually lost to Hebron, but Mimi Burton, Emancipation of Mimi, 8:30 tonight on Flex.
You know, I should have told you, stupid, to have you ask him, but it was a question that I was looking forward to asking Coach Sanders when I went to the spring camp the other day was just the role that Vandegrift Athletics has been on since they made their football playoff run has really been unprecedented in terms of soccer, both guys and girls, and track and golf, and just kind of how Vandegrift Athletics tends to carry that momentum that these spring sports into the fall.
Yeah, I want to say same with Round Rock. Round Rock has been on a tear too, which is district championships. Okay, so real quick, the quick rundown, 7:25, Glenn Grizzlies quarterback Sky Mendez. 7:30, Emily Fitzsimmons of Lake Travis Track. Michael Ramos of Pflugerville Panthers, baseball, 7:35. Ben Merriman, repping Bowie baseball, 7:40. Caroline Deal, what the deal, 7:45, Dripping Springs goalie. Kaylin Westbrook, Eastview, softball outfielder, our reporter, TikTok queen of Flex, by the way, 7:50 p.m. Paul Rodriguez, recruiting, coming up at 8 o'clock. Ashton Strasser, Johnson Jags on the rise. I'm predicting 10-0. That would include them beating Dripping Springs. I know. I'm going out on a limb. 8:20, and then Mimi Burton, Vandy Perf, with our guest, wraps it up 8:30. Then after that, we'll dive deep into the Westwood 707 SQT, and I guess maybe we should do that now. Westwood SQT. Tomorrow, again, just a quick breakdown of what these things are. There are many tournaments that lead to the big tournament. So basically, there are 16 teams in each tourney, four pools divided by four teams, A, B, C, D pools. Winner of each pool advances to the state tournament semifinal. Those two teams play. The winner of those two teams qualify for state. So win your pool and then win the state, or I keep calling it state, the semifinals.
Win your pool, win one more game,
correct.
You're going state.
There you go. And let me tell you, it's not the football season, granted, but going to state in 7-on-7 feels so good. It is so exciting. You are amongst the elite of the skilled players across the state. There are scouts, recruits littered all everywhere. This didn't happen last year because of COVID, but without a doubt, you see how I'm normally a hype guy, but y'all, Sevens is so lit.
You know, and I had a friend ask me who coaches so at Smithson Valley, who doesn't do Smithson Valley. Not every school participates in 7-on-7.
Correct.
And this is one of the schools that doesn't. And he said, well, what kind of translation is there from 7-on-7 to the actual season? And I would say it's a pretty good indicator. The teams that go to state in 7-on-7, the teams that do really well at state in 7-on-7, It's not a lot of times that those teams don't do well when the football season starts.
There's a correlation to success. Prime example, Westlake, right before they went to that state final against North Shore, summer before, they won the state 707 championship. The skill players and the DBs. Now, it's just not just offense. And in this game, you can actually, unlike some 7-on-7 tournaments, the defenders can pick the ball off and run it back and score.
Yeah, because I know in traditional, not you don't want to say traditional, but in 7-on-7,
that you see on
social media, the like select 7-on-7 and things like that. It's a turnover is a dead ball and just gives the ball back to your offense. But there's a little bit more opportunity for big splashy plays and big kind of chunk interceptions for turnovers and touchdowns and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it. I know Snoop has really pioneered the whole 7-on-7 coverage in the area. But I
got my Davy Crockett jacket on. That's why I'm feeling the pioneer analogy.
But it definitely is a good kind of something to hold you over for football season. It's just as exciting. So the flex content this weekend, I know we have some pretty big stuff planned. We're going to have a presence at both Round Rock High School and Westwood High School, the two locations for this tournament. Flex is going to have a presence there. So be looking forward to a lot of content.
I feel like, honestly, I should talk about the baseball and softball playoffs first because there's actually games going on right now. Westwood is playing. Who are they playing? Hold on. How dare I not know this off the top of my head? Oh, I'm going to punch you, Snoop.
Smithson Valley.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Yes, they're playing Smithson Valley. By the way,
Smithson Valley is really good.
In baseball?
Yeah, they have multiple big-time Division I players on their team. I can get some more information and talk about it in a bit.
P.S., Dripping Springs has already won their first game of their area round. That would be the second round of the playoffs after they beat Georgetown 2-1 in a series this last weekend. A name that, if you're a Horn listener and you like UT baseball, he's going to be pitching on the mound, right-handed pitcher Cameron O'Bannon. Had a complete game, shutout, 9 Ks. Against Jefferson, Dripping Springs, now a win away from advancing to regionals. So there's actually baseball going on right now. Cedar Park is playing right now. If I wasn't doing this show, I would be over at Westlake softball field right now covering Lake Travis versus Bowie softball. I would be, and matter of fact, when 8:55 hit, I'll probably hit the commercial, Zach. Now, I'm probably going to scoot it. You can go with me if you want. And Nolan, I'm going to go right over there, hopefully. Because softball games are usually a little quicker than baseball games, but they can last over 2 hours.
Yeah, they can last long. It's normally not as long as the baseball games. I mean, you remember, I know in high school, Nolan, I'm sure you could say the same, that the baseball and softball games would be going on at the same times on Fridays, and the softball one would end earlier, and they would all kind of come over and migrate to the baseball game.
For sure.
So, but I'm sure if you drive like right at the speed limit, Snoop, you'll make it in time.
I could walk there. It's so close.
Yeah, but you got to be there faster than a walk.
Okay.
You got to rent a scooter.
Okay, so there I at least. You know, because I don't want to throw baseball, and I fully expect us to go to the Dell Diamond. I fully expect Leander to take us to the state finals. On my Canon camcorder, I have state championship tickets from basketball and from soccer. So I just need the softball one to make, you know, the ladies state Austin area.
You didn't get
the
football one?
I do, but it's actually not on my camera anymore. I took it off and put it away because that was last year.
I think the girls' state championship is normally at UT softball field.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. At UT.
I never been there.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Oh, all right. And by the way, and if I can't get in, I'll just call Craig Way, the Austin Chronicle.
He'd probably give you his key.
Sports caster of the year.
Sit in his, reserve seat for life.
Thanks, Craig. Okay. All right. Do I take a break? No. Yeah, let me do. Okay. Let me take a 2 minute break, because I know sometimes radio commercial stops it so long. 2 minutes, I swear, we can't play the beer commercial. Oh. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes. It's a Flex.
Got joint pain but not getting relief from drugs and trying to avoid surgery?
So.
And, you know, you always got to play it safe with those those little DJ taglines that's in there. Hey, you know what it is, man. It's we're about to get started with the guests. Thursday Night Flex. Nothing better to do. Listen to the show, Flex ATX. I'm Zach Lucero, your host, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. Sitting across from me, the baby goat himself, Nolan Hogan. Say what's up.
What's up? How y'all doing?
And we're getting produced by an actual goat.
Hey.
Not a baby goat like Nolan, a fully grown with a little beard
goat.
And everything.
An old
Mr.
goat.
Snoop Daniel himself.
You call me an old goat? Hey, and we actually got a goat who's a mascot. We got two animal mascots for Flex. We got Wade, who's Derek Cohen's dog, and then we got the goat. Have y'all seen the actual goat that,
yeah.
that Kelly be bringing in here? So, we got
that
goats
goat
for
is
us.
Sick.
Pop facts.
By the way, Scott Mendez is on hold. I'm rocking the Sky gear, but I said we're going to break down the Westwood SQT, so we'll do the shorter, quick breakdown this time. Westwood Warrior SQT Saturday morning. First game starts at 8:30. Pool A, Westwood, Lehman, Anderson, Rouse.
I think this one is interesting. I mean, I think there's not a lot of super heavy hitters in this one, not a lot of names that you're going to come into and there's names that you know, but there's not like kind of some of the other pools that we see here. This one should be interesting in terms of a couple teams that could definitely win this pool.
Host, man. All right, pool B, McNeil, Hendrickson, Lake Travis, Austin High.
I think this one had some of the worst margins of victory in the Twitter pools.
Oh, my God.
1% for Austin High.
People kind of know what Lake Travis does in 7-on-7, and Lake Travis in 7-on-7 is a force to be reckoned with. I remember the days of Baker Mayfield, Zachariah Faya.
With the headbands.
With the head tie. Lake Travis is a problem, but it'll be interesting to see McNeil and Hendrickson and kind of what Austin High is going to bring to the table this year at the quarterback position and some of the skill positions after all that they lost last year.
Yeah, we're going to see who's going to follow up Charles Wright, who now is on the 40 acres practicing with the UT Longhorns. Coach Mike Rosenthal has some big shoes to fill there. Okay, Pool C at Dragon Stadium, Round Rock, Del Valle, Hutto, College Station.
I don't think it's been announced anywhere, but Flex ATX is going to have a presence at Round Rock Dragon Stadium. So definitely come by and say what's up and meet me and Nolan and Derek and Trevor and the guys. Trevor will be filming. We'll have a couple of things to give away and definitely excited to see some good football. And that's why we chose to go to Round Rock is because some of the teams here are heavy hitters. I think this one. Hutto was probably going to win it. Round Rock had a lot of people voting their way, but I think you're just voting for the Round Rock name there. But I'd be interested to watch that Hutto College Station matchup.
Okay. Pool D. This is, by the way, Warrior SQT State Sevens Tournament this Saturday. Pool D also at Round Rock High School Practice Field. This one is sneaky. Cedar Ridge, Bowie, Vista Ridge, Westlake.
So it's not exactly like the Lake Travis pool where there's not really a lot of people in it that could compete with them at that level.
Yes.
But I think Westlake is still probably favored in this one. This is a down year for Cedar Ridge. But I know you're really, really high on Bowie.
I am.
So that could be an interesting one to watch.
And Vista Ridge. Well, okay, so I remember 2 years ago when Kyle Brown first broke out in State SQT's first time they had made it in a while, we did a similar poll. 6.7% of the people thought that Vista Ridge would advance, and lo and behold, they did. And at the end of the tournament, and the cameras on the mixtape, all they're yelling is 6.7%, 6.7%. Coach is like, what the hell are y'all talking about? We talking about the Fan Stand Flex poll, fam. 6% of the people said we were going to win, so.
That'll be what happens if Austin High beats Lake Travis and Henderson.
we aren't clowning. We're just saying we love to see a good upset. We will talk more in depth about this towards the back end of the show. But me personally, I'm going to be at Pool A and B with Coach Wood, who actually has done such an outstanding job hosting this tournament over the years. You talk about names like Bear Fenimore back in the day with Ty Marshall, Ben Watson, and then, you know, Baker Mayfield, Zachariah Fire. We talked about that. All of these college stars that we eventually watch, whether it's Garrett Wilson, versus Jalen Ellis or whoever. This is such a great opportunity to catch these kids with no mask, mask off, blinking mask off. Should I put on future? But yeah, and
like chase you, a check. Never chase. You
never
know what?
Chase a check. Never chase a chick. You see the smiles. If they got fly hairdos, you're gonna see Skylar Hasenflock, the TikTok magnet, like playing football with no pads and helmet on. So I know it might be a draw for some people. All right, let's.
I'm excited for it. This is gonna be like my first 7-on-7 action. Okay, but I'm ready to see good football. I've never been to 7-on-7 before, so I'm excited to see the
litmus. So be tuned in to all the social medias, and Nolan's going to be in charge of putting the stories up. So if you want quick hitters, check out the Flex ATX Instagram story.
I want to talk about so many of these matchups. So just real quick, Nolan, when you're at Pool C, the first game at 8:30 is going to be Round Rock versus Del Valle. I think a great matchup, of course. Braylon James, Ohio State offer, and every school in the country, Penn State, et cetera. There's a guy named Sean Bell, who plays a DB for Round Rock, sophomore last year. We're going to see what he's made of in that matchup.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I'll get some good clips of that one.
Hutto College Station, low-key,
low-key, this is like one of the best matchups of the whole tournament.
Of the whole thing. And it really kind of shocked me. And, Sky, we're going to you next.
We'll find out why Glenn isn't at this tournament.
Yes, why is Glenn not? We'll ask him. But I don't really understand how. Because Round Rock, there's so much unknown. Seth Ford is gone. Now, there is this quarterback, this 6'6" lefty quarterback that they're supposedly hiding. Or, you know, allegedly. But I'm wondering how this turns out tomorrow. Okay, let me make sure this doesn't have any profanity. Sorry. Instrumental. Okay, let's go to the phones. Wait no longer. Sky Mendez, super soft, going into his junior year with all the potential in front of him. Glenn Grizzly's in the building. Sky, I appreciate you joining the show. Thank you, fam.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. All right.
Not only do we appreciate you joining the show, we appreciate all the swag that you done gave us, dude. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I got to get my name out there somewhere. And I know y'all are really big. And just giving it out to the community, it's just a great thing. I mean,
And
not really charging y'all, so.
Yeah, I do, because it's nice. It's nice gear. I mean, I'm rocking this shirt right now, Scott.
Thank you.
So for those that don't know, Skylar, he dropped us off a bunch of masks. Sky dropped off a bunch of masks, a bunch of things like that. Some hand sanitizer, all branded with YK Sky. Can you tell us what that YK stands for?
So it's a play on my name. It's like my parents used to tell me before I'd go on the field to go play, they say, go out there and write your story. So it's like the beginning and middle of my name, and I just put it all together. And yeah, it just pretty much just means writing my story.
All right, Scott Mendez on the phone. Scott, like, I went out there to practice. Coach Shanefeld, you know, like, he seemed to me more relaxed than I've seen him in the past. I mean, now, you know, 3-4 years deep of coaching, he kind of talk about the mood at spring camp right now for Glenn football.
Oh, it's always, you know, coach is going to be mad at some things, but he's been really, like, relaxed. I think he has just confidence in me. He knows that I can get back in the pocket, I can do what I need to do, and just the weapons we really have, like, once we get that chemistry going, I think he won't be mad. No one will be mad.
No, it's
he'll
good.
He'll just be calm and collected, and he knows that we got his back.
So, Sky, everybody knows Glenn for how hot they came onto the scene a few years ago, being a first-year program with all that success. And then since then, it's kind of fallen into, like, the normal kind of middle-of-the-pack category. What is it going to take for you and this team to bring Glenn back to what they were when they first came on the scene?
Just my main thing is culture, man. Because once we get more people in the, like, going in the morning weight room, just having, like, that big old family pack, you know, just getting more people to come to practice and this and that, and just getting the reps and just treating like each other more like brothers.
And then another big thing that to establish culture that we know for all the years that we've covered local football is 7-on-7. Is that not something that Glenn does, or have you heard anything about what your participation in 7-on-7 is going to be this summer?
You know, coaches haven't really talked to me about that, so I don't really have like an answer for that, but I mean, if they did, if we were probably doing it, they would probably tell me, but I haven't had a, or I haven't, they haven't spoken to me about it.
Some teams just choose not to do it. So, you know, and I think it almost kind of, because Shanefeld is from Cedar Park, and early in the day, like, Cedar Park did not, even though they had, like, Brian Hogan and Nate Grimm, like, they didn't really mess with 707 like that. So it might be like a coach's preference thing, and that's okay. But we would love to see you. Okay, Scott, tell us about some of your weapons on the outside. We got like two more minutes with you. Tell us about some of the players that we should watch for going into next year on Glenn.
Definitely Josh Contreras. He's an inside receiver. Mekhi Martinez, outside receiver. And just running back Mason Johnson. Just a bunch. And like them, especially, but just like everyone in general, like we just like click. Our offense is clicking, and we're just. It just feels really good in the, to know that they got my back.
All right. Well, Scott, we're glad that you're getting your shot to lead this team. You've definitely showed the passion and leadership qualities over the short time that we've known you. So that's kudos to your family. I met them the other day. So you got a good upbringing. So kudos to them. And before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody tonight?
Shout out to my family, you know, Glenn, just all my boys at Glenn, and especially my parents.
That's what's up. All right, Scott Mendez. Well, he ain't a super sophomore no more. He might as well call him a junior. All right, sure. Scott, we appreciate you. We'll check you out at camp again soon, and definitely for week one. Enjoy your evening.
Yep, thank you for having me.
That's what's up. It's a flex. Zach?
That's so cool. I think just that goes to show like how times have really changed, that this kid is not even an upperclassman yet, and he's already thinking about getting his name out there and building his brand and coming up with a name for it and things like that. And that's really – that kind of goes along with the whole, like, in name, image, and likeness thing that's going on in the NCAA is now Sky is going to have the opportunity, if he makes it to the next level, to continue this brand that he started in high school as the QB1 at a big-time school like Glenn – to continue this brand that he started at a young age and to continue to profit off it. So that's very, really awesome forward thinking by him.
Telling of the times, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
All right, Flex ATX on the phone right now. Lake Travis Cavaliers, I know that they're good at everything, but you know, they work real hard, okay? AAU All-American, 2021 state champion, Emily Fitzsimmons on the phone. Emily, we appreciate you joining the show. Thank you, fam.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You are welcome. You're welcome. I mean, like, you were the biggest rock star at UIL State last weekend. I felt, I mean, like John Gutierrez was shooting you. I saw a Cantu out there as well. What did last weekend feel like for you, competing and winning?
It was amazing. It was my first time going to state, so I was obviously very nervous, but very excited, and it was so rewarding as well.
Yeah, and Povo being one of those events that's so specialized, can you kind of talk about how you got into it and when your focus really shifted to solely on the pole vault event?
Yeah, I started track and field in eighth grade, and I started out as a sprinter, actually. I did the 100 and 200, and then my friends were telling me, like, hey, you know, like, you want to do a field event. Like, field events are so much fun. And I kind of just looked over at pole vault, and I was like, that looks cool. And so that's when I got into it. And then I started club training in ninth grade. So,
and so in terms of translating you to the next level as a collegiate track and field athlete, are you trying to be recruited as a vulture? Are you trying to get into the multis at the next level, or what's your plan kind of right now?
Yes, sir. It would be great to continue vaulting in college. That's definitely something that I'm hopefully looking forward to. And, yeah, I'm keeping my options open. I think being a multi would be awesome, but yeah.
And then before we continue talking about you, did who won the guys pole vault for 6A?
My teammate Jack Mann.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Lake Travis killed it, and my man Tracy did good too. Jacob Tracy, I think he won.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, so Lake Travis
silver and discus and shot put, I believe.
Turn up. All right. Emily's also going to be a broadcast journalist for track and field when she's done. Winning the gold medal. So where is the gold medal now? Like, do you put it up on the wall? Is it in your room? Do your grandparents have it?
Under her pillow for like a week?
Yeah, for the tooth fairy.
This sounds silly, but I actually have like a towel rack thing with all my medals in it right now. It's on my door in my bedroom. So that's where it's sitting.
Dang, so you just put the UIL State 6A gold medal just with all your other medals? That's, you're so accomplished. Oh, my God. So for people that don't know a little bit about the pole vault event, my roommate in college was a vaulter at Incarnate Word, and there's so much that goes into it, so much athleticism. For you, what do you think was the hardest part and the biggest transition to you for you going from just a normal pole vaulter to a 6A state champion level pole vaulter?
I would definitely say, since it's such a technical sport, it's all the little things that add up, and the most difficult for me, which was actually a transition I just went through, was moving up onto bigger poles. It can be a little scary, and it takes a while.
Yeah, I was actually just having this conversation with my roommate just about how, like, at the highest level, those people that are winning these meets are using the biggest pole out there. But Emily Fitzsimmons, gold medalist, state champion,
yes,
6A pole vault.
That's
from Lake Travis. One of two pole vault gold medalists at Lake Travis.
That's right.
Emily, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you representing for the field events and for the track and field community as a whole. Before we let you go, who are you shouting out to?
Definitely my high school coaches, Blake Yannick and Julie Salem, my club, Austin Pole Vault, and my teammates and family.
All right, and she's coming back next year too. So we already calling dibs on her. We the Emily Fitzsimmons fan club. Don't get it twisted. It's a flex. Emily, thank you. Congratulations. You're blowing up. We want to keep you in the spotlight. You're a star. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you're welcome. All right, Emily Fitzsimmons. Lake Travis, class of 22.
You know, one of the things that my roommate would tell me for, like, younger vaulters that are trying to make that transition to, like, being really good is getting upside down. Because a lot of people would just get on the pole and try to jump over, like, the small heights or whatever. Yeah. But actually getting upside down and, like, pushing off the pole is, like, the hardest thing for kids.
Oh, my God. I would just,
That stuff's so scary.
Dude.
Like, going, like, 20 feet in the air.
You just, like, describing what they do, like, my hands started sweating. So,
dude, apparently there was a kid, I think it was at State, my roommate was telling me that. So you get multiple, so they, every round the height gets higher and it eliminates people, and you get, like, a couple attempts at each height, and he said that one of the guys attempted the jump and shattered the pole.
Oh,
which really messes you up, because A, it's scary, and two, it, like, really hurts your hands for the vibration. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a guy that could clear the mark, but so he, like, composed himself, got another pole, and couldn't get it because it just messes with you mentally so much. It's like a legit kind of scary thing.
Shout out to Emily Fitzsimmons. She's repping the flex pole vaulting culture with the gold medal. That's lit. Anyway, all right. Well, switching gears right now to baseball. The Ville in the building. PFAM, Michael Ramos, Pflugerville Baseball. Great job this year. Michael, thank you for joining us on the show. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, I know. Okay, so last year I was messing with Panther baseball too. Before, like, COVID cut it short and everything, I got a chance to check out Nick Areola, like, in that shortened season. But can you kind of talk about what this season meant for you as a senior to actually get to play?
Well, I know it meant a lot for not just me, but like, for everyone, all the seniors around the Austin area, because we all got shut down. So, you know, everyone was hoping to do a lot last year, go make a big run last year, but we all got shut down. So for the seniors last year, that really sucked for them, and for us juniors last year, our seniors now, we were really excited about this season, because coming off a season last year that we didn't really get to finish, we were real excited about this one, making sure that we were going to get it to go out there and just represent for our team and just for everyone else.
Yeah, and Mike, I gotta say, I do want to fast forward to the bi-district round, the opening game. You know, how were you able, because we all know, like, McCallum is a state powerhouse, but able to go the complete way, hold them scoreless. Can you kind of talk about, you know, where your mindset was that day, and you've been dealing all year, but that was a special win for you.
Yeah, well, every single game I go out there, you know, I just want to make sure I give it all just for my teammates, my brothers out there, because we go out, we practice hard every day, and it was no different whenever we were going out there for the playoffs. But obviously it was a bigger game, more pressure on not only me, but my teammates. But, you know, before the game, we made sure we were locked in, focused, relaxed, and I went out there and just, I gave it my all for not only myself, my teammates, my family, my coaches, but just kind of for the whole, the team and the younger kids below me that are going to get to carry on the Pflugerville legacy, that they can see kind of what's going on with playoffs and that type of stuff. But it was a fun game, fun series, and it was a good day when we were able to win that first game.
Yeah, Michael, you mentioned kind of that Pflugerville legacy. I think people forget just the kind of athletic powerhouse that Pflugerville is and was for a really, really long time. And it kind of gets, in baseball, it kind of gets overshadowed being so close in proximity to all these Round Rock schools that are pumping people out to the next level and getting drafted left and right. But can you kind of talk about how competitive baseball is growing up in the Pflugerville Round Rock area and some of the guys that you get to play against?
Oh, yeah. Well, it all starts back a long time ago. You know, my brothers were in the same program, and there's a lot of great baseball just in this Central Texas area. And now me growing up, there's still a lot of great baseball here, you know, not just Pflugerville, but going out to Round Rock, Lake Travis, Westlake, all those places, they had a lot of great baseball around here. So making sure that you're known around this area, if you can be highlighted as one of the great players around here, you got a good shot, because everyone knows that there's a lot of competitive baseball around this area.
And who are your relatives that went through the Pflugerville that you mentioned?
So I have my oldest brother, Mario Ramos, the little bit of a younger one.
And Dom?
Marcus. And then Dom is my cousin.
Dang, shout out Dom Ramos, man. I went to school, I grew up with CeCe Ramos, and I took batting lessons from Dom Ramos. That Snoop, that's like a baseball lineage right here. This dude is carrying the torch, man. This dude got baseball in his blood.
Last one,
is that true? Hey, man, I want to shout out to your best friend, Madeline, who did such a great job helping us cover Pflugerville. We wish we had got her in the dugout earlier. I don't know why we didn't think of that. But anyway, shout out to her.
Shout out to her.
And who else are you shouting out to, Mike? Thank you for getting on the show, but you got shout outs tonight.
Let me just shout out the whole team, you know, the whole Pflugerville team. Shout out all of them. You know, we had a great year, ended a little sooner than we wanted to, but I want to shout out the team for sure. We worked hard all season. I love them all, and shout out my family, and shout out the coaches too.
First team all district. I better see it. If your name ain't on that list, I'm a riot. Michael Ramos, Pflugerville Panthers. Bro, great interview. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's what's up. Hey, are you going to try to do that Austin area all-star game? Because usually a lot of...
I actually confirmed myself this morning to play. My dad got the email, and I checked it out. So I should be playing June 13th, I think.
Okay. Yeah, keep me posted. I'm going to be out in that thing. And we'll turn up. All right, Mike. Thank you, bro. All right. It's a flex. Zach, what up?
Dude, for real. That Ramos family has, pumped out baseball, softball. Dom Ramos got drafted, played in the Red Sox organization. Uh-huh. Like Ryan Langerhans, that type of...
Langerhans. I mean,
he was with them. This dude got legit lineage.
Okay. And like last year with the baseball season cut short, some of the coaches, you know, it was a little controversial because definitely COVID was a lot crazier this time last year, but they did have an Austin area, kind of Pflugerville, more focused area game, players from
that was put together by parents almost.
It was.
Right?
I was out there filming, and so I hope that they do it again this year. We will definitely be in the house to honor our seniors, man. Class of 21, Savage right here. No heart. Y'all done made it. You know, you feel me? Y'all made it through COVID. Had a real season. Okay, let's keep it with baseball and talk about somebody who's still writing his story right now. Shout out Scott Mendez. My man Ben Merriman, super sophomore, Bowie Bulldogs. Ben, I appreciate you joining the show. Thank you, fam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You know, we keep it lit for baseball, Ben. And I got to say, I know the season might have ended early for Bowie, but, man, this was a storybook year for y'all and so much fun to watch. Can you talk about this season?
Yes, sir. You know, we had something special coming on down at Bowie down here, and it started off as we you know, we went into the season thinking, you know, we got to prove something. You know, we're in one of the biggest districts, so we went into that with the mindset of, you know, we're here to win.
Yeah, and Ben, you know, with the season, I know y'all gave LT their first district loss of the year, and then you had Johnny Easton dealing and Calliope dealing. Can you kind of talk about the Bowie pitching? Because I think pitching does get some notice, but like overall, you never really know how good of a job they did until you talk to a teammate who's watched them every game throughout these practices. But talk about the pitching for Bowie Collective.
Yes, sir. We mean we had a full pitching staff, top to bottom, that you could deal. As y'all saw, I mean, we knew going into the games what we had to do. We had to game plan each game, and with some lefties like Johnny and Colopy, you produce, and their worth ethic and practice really showed in the games of what pitches they need to work on in practice that they could throw into the games. And from their practice mode going to the game mode, and just the competitiveness between the lines of the game was just great, you know, seeing them deal like that to some big teams.
Yeah, you got your lefties going long, like six innings, and then you bring in Ryan Corbett, who's like a solid right-hander. I just thought it was excellent this year. Zach?
Yeah, Ben, the Texas State commitment, congratulations on that. Can you talk a little bit about what went into that, and kind of shout out your select team as well, that I'm sure had a lot to do with this with getting exposed to Texas State.
Yes, sir. Lone Star, shout out them. They're my summer team, and they hooked me up with Texas State this past summer, and I've been talking to Texas State, just building a relationship with them throughout this whole year. And then whenever I was finally able to go watch them down, do some play some games and watch them scrimmage, I knew right as, you know, seeing their coaching and seeing their playing, you know, I just, you know, had to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And then you're going to meet up with Ryder Hernandez there in a couple years, and that's a name that I'm sure you've seen a bunch of on covering following Flex like you do, and just being a local guy. Have you talked to him much, and how excited are you to be linking up with one of, I'm sure, of what's going to end up as many local guys at Texas State?
No, I haven't talked to him much, but I've seen from, you know, watching the videos and watching the highlights that he's a great ball player, and I can't wait to start, you know, talking to them and build relationships with those guys down with Texas State.
And Ben, my last question is, after your commitment to Texas State, I mean, you're one of a big, huge handful of guys that from the area that are going on to play big time
Division One,
like big school.
Yes.
Baseball. What do you think it is just about the area? Can you talk about just how competitive and some of the athletes that you get to see on a weekly basis playing baseball here in the Austin area?
Yeah, yes, sir. It's a unique area to have all this talent, you know, so close that I don't have to go travel far. You know, it's all right here. I get to see the best arms. I get to see the best hitters, the best players. I get to see the best of everything just right in my town. And it's made me a better player because, you know, I want to be up there with them, and I want to be competitive with them. And that just keeps me driving each and every day to just work harder. I got to be better than the day I was before just to be up with those guys. And then I got to even be better to, you know, just excel.
You know, I actually have one more question. You know, a lot of guys play select ball to see better competition because they're not necessarily seeing it with their high school ball. What's the comparison like with all of the talent that you're seeing through high school ball, and then with some of the talent that I'm sure you're seeing with select ball? Is it pretty comparable nowadays?
It's, you know, we get to see different stuff, you know, different states from when you travel, whether you stay here, but you still see the best going traveling to tournaments. You see the best from, say, like you see in Louisiana and other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still see the best with, you know, playing with Bowie and playing with my summer team at Lone Star.
All right. Well, Ben, you're going to be around for two more seasons. We're super excited to have you, like, carry that mantle for the Bulldogs. And congrats on committing and future success. Before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody?
Yeah, yes, sir. I want to shout out my family, my coaches on at Bowie. Shout out the seniors at Bowie. And shout out Luke Kaufman. He was always at all the games yelling and cheering for our team whenever he didn't have anything.
Ben Merriman, number one, Texas State, verbal commit. I better see your name on the all district list. It better happen. I'm a riot if I don't. Ben, thank you, fam. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's what's up. All right, it's a flex. Zach.
Yeah, it kind of dawned on me. I was like, so many people go away from high school ball and only look forward to select ball because they're seeing better pitching or better whatever as a pitcher, better hitters. But I mean, you're facing Division One guys once a week at least
on varsity.
On varsity, yeah, here in Austin.
Okay, so that's a perfect segue because I want to bring in probably the biggest superstar that we have on the show tonight, Caroline Dill, Dripping Springs goalie. Caroline, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yup. Okay. Speaking of like club versus varsity, I mean, obviously you're a sophomore. You've been decorated with 5A state MVP. Like, do you keep the band together? Like, you won a state championship. Do you consider not playing high school afterwards? Or I know that's like a tough question out the gate, but what are your thoughts on that?
I'm absolutely playing high school soccer next year.
Yes!
It was my first year this year, and it was amazing. And the connection with the girls and, like, the chemistry of the team was just amazing. And we're already training for next year to go back and win another championship.
Was that like a difficult conversation, or was it a no-brainer when you were talking to some of the other girls that I'm sure had really high-level club opportunities to try to talk to these girls and say, like, hey, let's try to do this again next year? Was that tough to convince, or were y'all all kind of on the same page?
I mean, we're pretty much all on the same page. We will definitely have to balance all of our schedules out because summer's just crazy with a bunch of, like, camps and games and trainings, but yeah, everyone's, like, super excited to come back next year and do the best.
Thank God. All right, we're like, please don't break up the band. I mean, we love watching Dripping Springs play so much, and I don't know if it's normal for teams that win state to be so young, and I really thought that y'all dominated in that matchup against Wakeland. What is it about the youth movement at Dripping Springs and Coach P. Ryan? She just has it like an embarrassment of riches coming back.
I mean, it's crazy the talent that's come in from, like, for high school. A bunch of girls all play together at the club, and so that chemistry's already there. And, I mean, our freshman class and sophomore class is so big. We have such, like, a wide spread of, like, athletes. But, yeah, it's amazing.
It's, I mean, between Hosden, and you talk about Talia, you talk about Riley, and you talk about Kalsu, who's a freshman. I mean, like, it's really sick and it's scary. So that's what I was like, y'all, please stay together for as long as y'all can, because really, y'all have made the sport of girls' soccer in high school. Y'all brought it to new heights this year. So I just want to say congratulations and thank you for doing what y'all did for the culture. Okay, so you wanted to talk about a special situation. You have been able to achieve greatness, but it hasn't come without the help of others.
Yes, sir. So I have a goal that I had set back in June 2020 to have 1,000 people sign up for the BMS registry.
Okay.
And you have to be 18 or older to sign up, but my donor was a 19-year-old boy from Florida, and he had signed up 3 months before he got the call that he was a match to me. And I was very fortunate to get a perfect match and only have to go through the transplant one time. And I'm not on any, like, anti-rejection medicine, but
that's I mean, it's just, I'm almost like speechless, Caroline, because I mean, we've been lifting you up as Superwoman, and really, you know, you've had your struggles as well, and to have had help and to be as great of a person as you are, it's an inspiring story. And we're going to put that website link up on Twitter, on Instagram, and we'll try to get it on TikTok too. I saw you doing a TikTok. I wanted to guess what drink you had. Do you drink the strawberry refreshers?
Yes, sir, with water, not lemonade.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was like, oh, I know exactly what drink that is. So I'm like, anyways, I know that's kind of goofy, but I wanted to. But Caroline, thank you for sharing that, and I really want to read more into this story and to find, you know, just more details. And but who you've turned into is just outstanding, and I'm you know, inspired by hearing your story. And that's it. Do you have any shout outs before we let you go tonight?
Yes, shout out to my athletic director, Coach Zimmerman, who is at every, like, program's event. And shout out to Coach Hill, the boys' varsity coach, for allowing me to come to his practices and be a keeper next to his keepers. And shout out to my seniors and my team and my coaches.
Yeah, Pacucci, Riley Flores. I mean, y'all got the youth movement, but y'all had some seniors too do it too. So don't want to forget about them either. Caroline, for real, thank you so much. Like, I know you're like, y'all, Flex, y'all just y'all show me all the love. You deserve it. I'm even more inspired by hearing your story. Thank you for helping raise the level of high school soccer for girls in the area. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Caroline. Hey, oh, what do you? I guess you want to play college soccer, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any preferred schools?
I've been talking to a number of schools since my 8th grade year before the NCAA rules changed.
Yes.
But, yeah, I've got a couple on my list.
Okay. Oh, man. Oh, she's holding it close to the vest. I know, like, please don't be getting embarrassed when we be, like, tagging Texas soccer. We're like, dude, we got to keep you here, like, forever, or as long as we can. You're a goat. Caroline Deal, thank you. We will definitely talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you, you too.
All right, Caroline Deal. Dripping Springs, new drip. Goat right there. Dude, state finals MVP. Girl did not allow one goal at like 7 playoff games. Complete beast. Caroline Deal. It's a flex.
And I think she definitely had played a big role in your like love for covering soccer this year. I think we had some of the best like people to cover it, for you to cover a sport that you've never covered before, as like energetic as you are. We had some of the best people, the best athletes to cover that made this transition for you like almost seamless.
Yeah, well, I know that like goalies, I don't want to call them like special, but we've had some really like big personality goalies, whether you talk about, anyway, I don't want to like name drop because I'm going to forget somebody. And if I don't say all the names, then it'll be like you got favors. But Caroline Deal, she number one tonight. And probably number one next year, too. Going to the phone lines, Kaylin Westbrook, Eastview I reporter / all district softball player / flex TikTok queen / MVP goat. Kaylin, thank you for joining the show.
Hello.
Welcome back. Hey, Kaylin. Okay, before we talk about the year as a whole, me and Zach, we're talking about, of course, Leander softball. But we got to say, like, y'all, I think we're the only team that gave them a push in district for Eastview.
Yeah. The only other team that was within one run was Cedar Park. But that's pretty much it. They blew out everyone else in our district.
I got to say, Kaylin, it was, and you heard us say this was the first year that we covered soccer, and it was really the first year that we covered softball, and it was so much fun. Do you think it was because maybe last year got stripped away and made this year more special, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that we had a good team last year, and we lost some key players, and then we got some move-ins, and we had a lot of talent, and so we wanted to be able to showcase it and go as far as possible with the people that we had, and we knew that we had like the best team chemistry that we had like ever had.
Yeah, Kaylin, so with Eastview softball this year, you guys were so good, and I think we really, with Leander and you guys and some of the other teams in the area like Travis, we're seeing so much more fan engagement than normal.
Yeah.
This year, especially with Snoop covering it the way he's been doing it. But with you as a softball player and also as an iReporter, I think you'd be the perfect person to talk about just the culture over there at Eastview. What's that kind of athletic culture like, and how much fun is it being an athlete over at Eastview High?
It's amazing. When I started being an iReporter, I loved being able to go to all the football games. Everyone supports everyone, and there's not like something that gets left out. Like even with choir and band, like everyone is just so involved in everything, and they all show up to our athletics because we support what they do outside of school, and everyone is just friends with everyone, and everyone's like family.
All right, Kaylin Westbrook on the phone. Kaylin, the TikTok off the chain. We need like a maybe like a TikTok teacher for our iReporters. We didn't know how long. Are you going to college next year? And where are you going to school?
I want to go to college to play softball, but my sister is currently playing at Nichols and Thibodeau. But she's her coaches had just left, so she's looking for a new place to play. And I'm waiting to see where she is deciding to go. And then I'll probably follow her and
go to school and play with her.
Okay, okay. Just so that we know, and of course, we'll keep up with you on social media. But, Kaylin, we just wanted to bring you on real quick and say thank you for everything that you did. You covered, like, a program historic year of Eastview football, so you'll always have that in your back pocket. And what you've meant for the flex culture is really invaluable. We just want to say thank you. And before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody?
Shout out to my Patriot family, all my coaches, and my family.
Kaylin Westbrook, a GOAT in all measures. Thank you, Kaylin.
Thank you.
It's a flex, Zach.
Yeah, softball's one of those sports that you got to be careful, because these are some like legit girls. There's so much time, so much extra money that goes into being good at softball. So for a school like Eastview that's competitive at the highest level, these girls are so dedicated. So for her to be able to do all of that and have her Fridays basically completely taken away, yeah, with the iReporter duties, that's a lot on the plate of a high school student.
Yeah. So shout out to Kaylin Westbrook, the GOAT. Quick break. We'll be back. Paul Rodriguez to talk Austin area high school recruiting on the football front. We'll also break down the schedules for the Warrior SQT. It's happening this Saturday morning at Westwood and Round Rock campus. As far as guests, we got two more guests. We got my man Ashton Strasser from Johnson Jaguars coming up at 8:20. Mimi Burton, Vandegrift Vipers golf at 8:30. Woo, it's a flex.
Body Armor is proud to sponsor the number 12 team Penske car trip.
Hour number two, Thursday night, Flex ATX. We're vibing out. It's the EDM hour.
This is
going crazy. It's the Rose Room hour.
You better stop.
But you know, man, we're having a good time over here. Brought to you by 104.9 The Horn, Flex ATX. Hour number two. The time is 8:04. Great batch of guests in the first half. We're going to keep it rolling here in the second for the couple guests that we have. Lead it off with Paul Rodriguez, talk some recruiting. But before that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. Vibing out with me across the table, safely distanced, his baby goat himself, Mr. Nolan Hogan.
How y'all doing today?
And playing us all the hits, keeping us entertained, keeping us lit, keeping the energy right, helping us pass the vibe check, Mrs. Snoop Daniel.
CDC came out today and said fully vaccinated people can be indoors without a mask.
I'm the only fully vaxxed boy.
And he is too.
No.
No?
Oh, well. I don't have a vaccination yet.
Not me either.
I am. That's why I don't got my mask on.
Oh,
I'm fully vaxxed.
Well, good for you, Paul Rodriguez.
Vax to the max.
You're vax to the max. Yeah, you did. In fact, I was drowning. I really hurt my lungs last week trying to talk through the whole show. 2 hours by myself, I'm like, I can't stop talking.
And this is what they thought you were going to do every night.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Anyway, I mean, it would take lots of practice. Because, again, I'm a traditional radio guy. I talk for 15 seconds in between records, at the most, like a minute or 2 minutes.
That's that new Justin Bieber.
That's the
coming
new,
back.
Coming
back. Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, new Justin Bieber right there. 104.9 The Horn, back after this.
Hey, don't play with us. Snoop will go to his radio voice. Snoop
no,
will tease
I don't
some
have
songs.
A radio voice.
Snoop will tease some songs.
I don't have a radio voice.
Snoop will play
I only talk about myself. All right, so the Westwood Warrior SQT is happening for like the umpteenth year in a row. Coach Anthony Wood has done an outstanding job coordinating this. His original goal was to have all 16 teams play in the same area. That did not come to fruition. I don't know if because of COVID or whatnot, but it will be separated onto two campuses and not three this year. I've always felt that was it made the tournament feel a little disconnected having it on three campuses. So now you have it on two. It'll be eight teams at each one. For A and B, you have eight Austin area teams. And C and D, which will happen on Round Rock High School campus, you'll have seven Austin area teams, including College Station. I don't know how big of a presence we're going to have at Round Rock tomorrow, but we did reach out to Coach Jeff Cheatham.
Saturday.
I don't know why I keep thinking it's tomorrow, because this is basically a Friday for
You're
me.
You're excited.
I am excited. Y'all, we're going to turn up.
It's going to be lit.
Y'all do not know. Well, y'all know, but Coach Cheatham, which, by the way, he doesn't participate in the coaching of this because he doesn't, but he oversees his, make sure everybody's abiding by the rules and such. He said that we'll have a spot there, so I don't know if we're going to set up a tent or what we're going to do. But the games are early, 8:30. All of it?
10.
We have all the presents.
Table,
well,
chairs.
Well, here's the deal. Like, the station, our cluster, ARN, has an event late Friday night, and then they have an event sandwiched between that on Saturday afternoon. I believe it's the Austin FC watch party. So it's about a lot being demanded of our not very... Not a lot of people in a promotions team, so.
And this will be this Round Rock SQT tomorrow, or God,
yeah, there you go.
Saturday will be a good yeah. chance for you to look in and see like some of the people that do a bunch of the behind the scenes work, like Trevor, who does a bunch of our graphics, all of our Player of the Week graphics, Derek Cohen, who's really big in the behind the scenes work that yes. helps us to do basically everything with Flex. You get to hear me and Snoop and Nolan talk once a week, but you never really get to hear from these guys. So it'll be a great chance for them to kind of get some hands-on experience. And Snoop, I heard you talking about how Westwood really wanted it to be all in one location, which would have been so cool because that's very different than these Round Rock SQTs were in the past.
Correct.
And Snoop kind of mentioned it a little bit, some of the differences this year from years in the past. And one of them is one less game at every tournament. They used to be, because like Snoop said, they take two people from each tournament and have them qualify for that state tournament later in the summer, and it used to be the first and second place team. So that last game was really just kind of for bragging rights,
right?
Because both teams had already done what they came out to do and qualify for the state 7-on-7 tournament. But it was an exciting game all the time because these people done sweated for half the day in the heat to try to win this tournament, and then you would get Round Rock versus Westwood. You would get these crosstown rivalries that you may never get to see because of the different classifications or something like that. And those were some of the most fun games to cover. But maybe some COVID, maybe some kind of logistical things. We're not seeing that game that game this year. Because it makes more sense to kind of have it stop right there because you've already qualified.
Well, okay, I don't know if you remember... Early back in the day, the teams would be so completely sun-wiped and out, they would be cramping up by the last game. They couldn't even physically play the game. I remember McNeil, the one time they went to state, they were supposed to play in that supposed last game and couldn't even field enough players on the field because none of them had any legs.
And luckily, knock on wood, luckily the weather hasn't been too crazy yet here, so... It's supposed to rain on Saturday, so maybe it'll be nice and cool, like that pre-rain kind of weather, nice and cool, maybe a little breezy.
Well, that's one of the reasons they're starting the tournament at 8:30 and ending it before 12 is because of the weather. And there are notable changes. I'll just run down these real quick. This year, they're playing two 15-minute halves as opposed to 20. With a 10-minute break in between as opposed to 20. So right there, you're knocking 10. You're knocking 20 minutes off the complete each pool game. You have to wear the new headgear safety requirement. I'm interested to see how – because I might see something new. Like, these might be, like, I don't know, the ones – Vandergrift had them on today. What were they over their helmets to have almost – it's like a black glove over the top of their helmet?
Well, it's like those, like, puffy-looking – almost like bubble wrap looking helmets.
Yeah,
you've seen them on social media.
It's like
media
the inside of a helmet on the outside.
On
of
the
your
outside,
head.
Yeah. We have to bring our helmet liner that Sky gave us.
Oh yeah, that seems to wear that.
And they might, you know. So I don't know. And a lot of people are uncomfortable. And will they make the quarterback also wear that? That's also a big bit of controversy. Are you going to put that on the signal caller? I would assume they don't have to wear one, but they are rolling out, and they could get hit, dude. Also, it is 7-on-7 and ain't tackle. But there's some violent collisions that happen. There's physicality between the DB trying to jam the receiver.
Especially because, like on those jump balls, too, especially.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's where most of the highlights. And there was a text on the text line, right, and the Vaquero text line, 512-337-3776, someone chiming in on State 7s.
Yeah, talking about a Westlake. Stu mentioned that Westlake state championship run that led to a UIL state championship run. He said, hey, Snoop knows Westlake DBs, Michael Taft and all those guys got abused in 7-on-7 and then took it to everyone else in the regular season and playoffs.
Name them all. Name all those DBs they put down. Who did they put?
Lowen.
Okay, Leo Lowen, who now plays for Army.
Luther.
Sage Luther, who now plays for Rice.
Smoger.
Henry Smoger, I don't think he's playing football anywhere, but he was a good one.
M-I-R-U-E-R?
Lucas Maru. He was a District 26 6A defensive MVP last year.
And Michael Taft, we all know.
Mookie.
It says 7-on-7 is tilted to the offense until contact and fall football. 7-on-7, 100% is tilted to offense.
Yeah.
However, State 7-on-7 is a little different because they do allow those defensive touchdowns, mm-hmm. which most does not. So maybe it tilted like a little bit back toward the defense, but it's still definitely more used as an offensive tool than a defensive tool.
And I also feel that they do the no returning on defense maybe for media and press. I mean, because the only tournament I remember covering personally that did that, and I did line up right behind Jake Hubenak from Georgetown and right behind Chris Johnson from Maynard and right behind Christian Ahrens from Stony Point, was when Red Bull Game Breakers did the same thing right behind Xavier Connolly for Hendrickson.
That's what we'll be doing. That's where you'll be standing for the Flex ATX 7-on-7 series. That we'll put on.
That sounds lit, but the amount of like disclaimers and insurance you need to have, like,
we'll do it at Nolan's backyard.
I don't want to mess with that.
On the golf course, God,
live from the 18th green.
You know what? You know, and that's why we're really trying to partner up more and watch like somebody try to jump us and jump the idea and try to partner up with them anyway. But we've been, you know, talking with Coach Wood and Coach Cheatham at Westwood and Round Rock respectively, and we have a great relationship with Coach Carter and Mangino at Lake Travis, and of course Dodge and Salazar over at Westlake, who run these state tournaments or state qualifying tournaments. And you know, I'm not saying that we have to go like nuts out there, but we do want to have a presence. I would love to bring a DJ table out there.
Oh, having music, DJ Snoop out there.
Having music, I mean, like, now I would want to film
a proper. Yeah. No, we would get a proper DJ. Snoop would know. Snoop would bring 19 DJs. It'd be like a music festival. Yeah. with all the DJs that Snoop knows.
It would be for real, bro. It would be like Ultra Fest Flex.
For y'all that don't listen to the, I'm probably sure they talk about it at the midday show that Snoop does with Craig. Snoop be going out, so he knows the DJ at every location
safely
to ever go out ever. So we would have a nice rotation of DJs at the DJ booth.
I mean, yeah, and playing everything from EDM to hip hop to country.
And Snoop mans the DJ booth at time to time.
Every now and then, when they take a break, I'd step behind the DJ booth and I'd rip on the ones and twos. I do. All right. So I guess why Paul isn't calling in. So we'll just talk about recruiting ourselves, I guess. Braylon James. His star continues to rise. And now, you know, like back in the day when I was asking this question, I thought it was a little far-fetched, but who has more upside, Caleb Burton or Braylon James?
You know, I think, first of all, a question I think it's Braylon James just because of his frame. I think now with what DK Metcalf did this year in the NFL, and I think what we're seeing just across the board in football and in college and in the NFL, I think this year with the Jamar Chases and the Devontae Smith and stuff like that, I think that's kind of the last of that size receiver that's really going to make a big splash. People are now wanting that big wide receiver, much like kind of the change in DB. I mean, from when we first started covering football, DBs were like the shortest but fastest guys. And now DBs are 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", at times. And I think that's starting to transition over to the wide receiver position as well. You want a guy that has more size, that can do more. And Caleb Burton's one of those guys that's going to specialize in route running, be a great possession receiver. He's not super, super burner, but like, he has the kind of frame of a guy that would be...
He had long legs.
That would be like a really deep threat. Whereas Braylon James has track speed, has the jumping ability, but in a 6'3 solid frame. So that guy's going to be able to line up inside, outside, take those end arounds, things like that. And I think it's just a little bit more not as kind of specific as of a receiver as a guy like Caleb Burton.
Yeah, it should be interesting to watch. We'll get to check out Braylon tomorrow. It'll be our first
Saturday.
God. What
might as well make it tomorrow.
Might as well make it tomorrow. I just said tomorrow like 1,000 times. This show is live, by the way, or else we'd probably cut that out. But yeah, Saturday, Del Valle will see Skylar Hassenfluck, former Stony Point quarterback, his first Del Valle public showing with his teammates. The watch list that we came up with Del Valle is actually pretty long. It's pretty long.
Not as long as Hutto.
Ooh. That's why, oh my gosh. I can't believe that, again, like most of our public, they chose Round Rock to win Pool C out of Round Rock, Del Valle, Hutto, in College Station. But for me, it's Hutto. Like,
we did get one guy in the comments saying that College Station would win.
Yes.
And I clicked on him, and he's like the quarterback of Brian Rutter that somehow follows Flex, so shout out to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, Brian Rutter follows Flex because they're in that awkward District 18-5A, grouped in with Eastview and Rouse, et cetera, and Bastrop.
They were in my district back in the day with Hendrickson.
Really? Oh, yeah, you're right. So
that was always the best trip for baseball because we would leave in, like, second period.
Yeah.
It was so far away.
One day trip all the way over there.
Dude, you know what? It has happened in the past where there has been a non-Austin area team in an Austin area SQT, and they wind up stealing a spot, which stinks. It's terrible.
Especially later in the season when teams are starting to look for more SQTs to play in to try to get that last-ditch effort. So I'm sure once we get to Westlake SQT, we'll start to see some more further teams.
You know, a prime example, 2 years ago when Round Rock qualified at the Westlake SQT tournament, they beat Westlake in the semifinal. So the Shaps had to wind up going to the River City SQT in San Antonio to qualify. And then they wound up making it to the champ bracket. But it's, you know, it's not guaranteed. I know like 98% of people say that Lake Travis will win that pool. And, you know, playing McNeil, Hendrickson, and Austin High, which all three are really like.
Hendrickson is really good at 7-on-7, though, usually.
Yes. They've also lost so much, though.
You always say that. You always say that.
I do.
If it was Weiss, you would pick them.
If it was Weiss, I would say they might have a chance against Lake Travis. Only because, again, it's catered to the offense. And
just real quick, 7-on-7 story. Do you remember that year?
By the way, Ashton Strasser coming up from Johnson here in 2 minutes. We'll interview him. So,
do you remember that year that Lake Travis qualified like they always do, where they qualify like in the first tournament that they play in, and then they kind of have to figure out what they're going to do at the rest of these tournaments
to fill?
They entered their JV in one, and then they won the tournament.
Yeah, it was Peyton Janicek who wound up eventually playing at the Woodlands. He led that team to a win, and it was so funny because also at that point in time, of course, Matthew Baldwin, was the quarterback.
Matthew Baldwin,
who wound up going to TCU. But they weren't really sure who that next quarterback was. Was it going to be Janicek, or was it going to be this kid named Hudson Card who just transferred in from California? And fast forward to today, and Hudson Card is competing for the starting quarterback gig at UT.
But I remember the JV won that tournament, and they were like, okay, well, the JV can't go
play
to the SQT, so Westwood, it was congratulations.
The runner-up. I know. Isn't that terrible?
It was wild. And that's how good that Lake Travis is. 7-on-7 is tailor-made for a school like Lake Travis, this prolific passing attack, and it just trickles down all the way to the JV.
Yeah. All right. Morris State 7-on-7 talk later in the show. We're live until 9 o'clock right now. 8:20 is the time. Flex ATX, Vaquero Hotline, repping the Buda Johnson Jaguars. Ashton Strasser on the phone right now. Number 7, appreciate you joining the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Turn up. All right. I want to get the sister question out the way because, I mean, let's face it, like, Trista, like, in our area, she is such, like, a superstar, man, and you know, like she's going to Missouri and everything. But what was it like growing up as her little sister, or her little brother? Excuse me. Oh, y'all, shut up. Sorry, her little brother, Ashton. Thank you. You knew what I meant.
Man, she was. She never really played sports. I mean, when she was a kid, and never like took it into consideration. But like, it was kind of funny, though, because she was always taller than me, and, like, I don't know. But it was just kind of funny that she was just so much taller than me, like.
And athletically dominant. I mean, because I've seen her hoop, and, like, she's a bucket on the block.
Who wins one-on-one when y'all play?
Of course me, man. Of course. Oh, of course.
All right. Well, okay, so now we got the Trista talk out the way. Ashton Strasser, he is his own man. And Ashton, I just want to start maybe talking about last year. I know the season was a little crazy with COVID, and I really think that y'all got robbed out of having a postseason spot. But can you talk about what last year meant for you?
Last year, man, it did a lot for me. We fought really hard last year. Like, we wanted that spot in playoffs, man. We really wanted it, and we almost got there. We were right there, man. We dominated every practice I had. Every morning I woke up, I made sure I was going as hard as possible on the field, hard as possible. And who motivated me the most was my mother and Coach Keenan and Coach Pruitt, man. They motivated me so much to just practice as hard as possible every day. And I just got better and better and better. And, man, you know, it felt good. It felt good, especially getting Defensive MVP of the Year.
Yeah, Ashton, you talk about that defensive MVP and just kind of the message that you guys sent as a brand new program. I think people already are starting to figure out that Johnson's not your ordinary brand new team. They're not going to be kind of stepped over in things like we've seen with other brand new programs that are kind of going to take a little bit to get going. What do you think goes into establishing a culture at a brand new school like Johnson?
Probably like teamwork, like we and like brotherhood, like we all just love each other so much and we just work so hard together, and I think it all comes together like that.
And after narrowly missing the playoffs last year, kind of aided by the COVID thing, how hungry are you guys going into next season to kind of prove people wrong and to get that playoff spot?
Oh man, we're hungry. We are hungry. I promise you that. And we are coming for every team. I promise you that. We are coming hard. We lift so hard every day, and we work so hard every day. And we're just so ready, man. I promise.
Ashton, Nolan Hogan here. I graduated from Hayes, so I remember you being underclassman when I was graduating, and I just remember seeing you running around and just kind of a hothead, just like being all around things and wanting to just be you and be yourself and have high energy at all times. So what did that mean to take that and be the first class at a new school to be that, have that high energy?
Man, I just...
And do you miss Hayes?
Do I miss Hayes?
Not a lot of people do.
I do not miss Hayes. I love my school. I love it so much. I know I was a hothead, but, you know, like being a hothead in football kind of works together. You know?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't a slight. That was a high praise there for you.
Yes, sir. Ashton, like, dude, I really, like, I went out on a limb. I'm like, I think they're going to go 10-0, like, and that would include, like, beating Dripping Springs and beating Canyon, et cetera. Do y'all have any preseason goals, or?
Our goal is to make it to just be state champs, man. Like, we scream it every day in the weight room, every day.
Dude, I'm telling y'all, man. No, I'm telling you, they're like on some like Glenn stuff. Like in 2013, they just came on. They just had all the confidence, all the swagger. I'm telling y'all, watch out. I mean, and it was even being foretold before they even played this last season that Johnson was going to be very good. So, yeah. All right, Ashton, we appreciate you. We got to run. Great first interview. We'll definitely talk to you again soon. But before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody?
I just want to shout out my mom. She has been there my whole life, and I couldn't be where I am today without her at all. And I just want to thank her so much, and I love her so much.
Aww. All right, Ashton Strasser with the mom points and a beast on the field, number 7. Ashton, thank you, bro. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
That's what's up. All right, Johnson Jags in the building. It's a flex, Zach.
We love that energy.
Bro, I told you, he's high energy, man.
We love that. We love that, man. And that's what it takes, is like personalities like that to really get a program going. I mean, you still remember names from that Glenn team, that one district as a brand new program.
I do.
So I mean, it's people like that. It's people like Ashton that are really gonna solidify themselves as forefathers of a brand new program.
Yes, and that's why we say hashtag Gristery. I mean, who'd have thunk Rouse would have jumped out and made the state final four like as quick as they did? It's been, they started 0-10, they had nothing going, and then within 3 years, they're going to the state quarterfinals. State Final Four. Losing to Georgetown, which wound up losing to Denton Ryan, Gerard Hurd, and that
Denton
whole
Geyer.
Thing. Oh, Denton Geyer. Dang it. Well, okay.
SUT isn't tomorrow. It's Saturday.
It's Saturday. We'll talk more about that. Okay. I want to hold like three more minutes because I know like Mimi Burton, she has like a ton of fans, like because like on her Instagram post, they blew it up. So I want to make sure that we do it on time and do it at 8:30, which means we have 2 minutes in between now and then. I want to just quickly go down the baseball and softball playoff games that are happening starting tonight and running through the weekend. By the way, these are our best of 3-game series. If a team wins tonight and then wins on Friday, there will be no Saturday game, obviously. But 6A baseball, quickly, Cedar Ridge taking on San Antonio Reagan. Westwood taking on Smithson Valley. To be honest, that game should be wrapped up by now. I don't know a final. Maybe no link. I don't know.
We'll look.
Lake Travis versus San Antonio Churchill going down. Round Rock versus San Antonio Johnson. I just got the text from Seth Ford, who's the former quarterback / all
the new
district
reporter.
Power forward / iReporter for baseball / West Texas A&M signee. He said that Round Rock was leading Johnson 12-1. So we're just going to go ahead and say that the Dragons have locked up game one. Area round 5A baseball. And again, here in 90 seconds, Mimi Burton, Vandegrift Golf, big interview coming up. McCallum versus Lake Creek. Elgin versus Montgomery. RIP to Willie Simmons and Elisa Broderick. Hendrickson taking on Porter. Anderson versus College Station. Dripping Springs confirmed shut out San Antonio Jefferson earlier today. Rouse taking on Floresville. And in progress as we speak, Cedar Park versus Medina Valley. Quickly, softball playing currently. Bowie versus Lake Travis. Don't have a score update as of yet. They're playing over there at Westlake High School. Round Rock taking on Judson. In 5A, Georgetown versus Canyon. Number one ranked in the nation, Leander taking on Medina Valley. Assuming they win tonight, game two would be at Leander tomorrow. So you might go see the girls clinch the regionals tomorrow if you want to go support Kendall Driver and that excellent team. But that's the quick rundown of your 6A, 5A baseball, softball playoffs going on right now. I know we're talking a lot of state 707 football. We had gold medalist on earlier with Emily Fitzsimmons from Lake Travis. But right now we'll go to the Vaquero Hotline. Mimi Burton, Vandegrift Golf. Mimi, we appreciate you joining the show. Thank you so much.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you, Mimi, for joining us. Like I said, like we posted your Instagram picture. John Gutierrez is like a photojournalist artist. He always makes the pictures so great. But I got to ask you about the swaggy Nikes you were rocking on the picture. Where did you pick those up? I mean, like, and they might be girl shoes, but I want to get some, too.
I've had those for a while. I think they're a couple of years old. So I don't know if I'm able to find them anywhere, but those are my favorite ones. And we went with all black the final round, so I thought that would, like, be a nice touch to the look. But, yeah, I love those shoes.
It did. And I know, like, we're interviewing you, like, individually, but can you shout out the team? Did they finish third or was it runner-up? I'm sorry, I didn't know.
We finished second, yeah.
Second, yes.
Yeah, I'm really proud of our team. I mean, we're still so young. Like, we're a team of 3 freshmen plus me, and so I'm a sophomore and then a junior.
Yes.
So we still have the whole team for another year, and then we still have most of the team for 2 more years while I'm still here. So
We have a really good opportunity. Like, we had a really good opportunity to win this time, but we still have plenty of time to get it done. I think that we definitely will. So I have lots of confidence in our team, and everybody works so hard. So I'm really proud of everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all and Westlake were in it until the end. But shout out to Hebron because they really did play great and wound up taking it all. But can you talk about the because Vandergrift school-wide, I mean, they have so much pride. I know that the softball team made the playoffs for the first time in a long time this past year. Can you kind of talk about the Vandergrift culture athletically and how it seeps into golf into making y'all one of the state's best?
Yeah, so Vandergrift is just really competitive, just like generally, like academically, and then especially like athletically. Like, everybody's just so good at everything, and so you have to be like really, really smart and really, really good at your sport if you want to be able to be seen as anything, pretty much. So I think everyone's just so talented at our school, and so I don't know, I think we're pretty good at everything. Like, I'm very proud of our school.
You know, I think that sounds weird to say, but it's kind of true. I mean, especially it just seems like Vandergrift went on this tear after football made a historic playoff run. Everyone kind of fed off of that, and then soccer did well, and baseball did well.
Yeah,
and
soccer did do good. Yeah.
Volleyball went well, and then now you having all your success in golf. Can you talk a little bit about, though, how you ended up there? How golf was the sport for you? When did you kind of realize that you wanted to do golf instead of volleyball or whatever other sports? And when was it that you got really serious about it?
Well, okay. I sort of had no other options athletically. My dad sort of forced me into this sport when I was, like, two. So didn't have a choice. You know, I tried soccer for a little bit, but wasn't into the whole running thing. So stuck with golf for the most part, but I didn't start playing tournaments like competitively till I was 9. But it's been like my whole life forever, so I don't know what I'd do without it.
So Mimi, being a golfer, and I work at a golf course, so I see a lot of recreational play of golf, and it's to me it's one of the biggest recreationally played sports in the world. So I just wanted to I was wondering, like, when was the line where you were like, oh, I'm taking this to a next level? What is the difference between a recreational golfer and a high-level golfer that's runner-up in 6A golf?
I think that it's really, like, this is going to sound funny, but it's really, once you realize that you're pretty good at it, it really makes you want to stay that good and get even better. Like, I remember when I first started, like, even when I wasn't quite shooting the scores that I wanted to shoot, right when I was starting to figure out, like, that I was going to be able to get to those scores pretty soon because I was, like, hitting the ball really well and I was just, like, a little off of everything. And I was like, okay, I'm really close. Like, I just need to keep working on it and I'm going to get there. And I think that really, like, pushed me to, like, the next step in my golf. And also, like, I think that recreational golfers aren't super aware of where their ball is going all the time. You know, like, the really, really good players know where they're going to hit it, and so that's sort of a big factor. But golf is really fun sport. You can, especially in quarantine, there's been a million people out at my home course that never saw before, and they just are, like, addicted. Like, everybody's gotten into it, so it's really fun. It's really cool to see.
And golf being one of those big dad sports.
Oh yeah.
Do you beat your dad when y'all go play?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No shame.
He beat me pretty recently, and he was very proud of himself, and he can be kind of cocky, so, you know. He had to rub it in my face like a lot.
Do you remember the first time you beat your dad? Or was it too many times?
It's been a lot of time. I must have been like 10 or something for like 9 holes when I would have beaten him. But he's still very good, you know. I can't be too mean to him, but
yeah.
Yeah,
She's like, hey, I'm not going to be mean to my dad. Mimi, thank you so much. Like, for real, like, I'm glad that you're a sophomore because we are trying to cover golf more as we go forward. And now we have, like, somebody on an elite level that's coming back for two more years. So we're excited, you know, for your success and want to say congratulations. And what we do here on Flex, absolutely, at the end of interviews, we ask if you have any shout-outs. So are you shouting out to anybody tonight?
So, obviously, my parents who helped me figure out my schedule with everything, balancing, like, the individual golf and also the school tournaments. And then also Dr. Manish Patel, who is my surgeon, because I had both of my wrists reconstructed, actually, exactly 2 years ago, as of the first round of state, I had my left wrist surgery done. So, it's definitely been, like, a long, like, process, and then I still, like, struggle with it a little bit, but I wouldn't be where I am today without him, so I'm very, very lucky and very appreciative of him. And then also Mr. Steve Tremere and Mr. Greg Garner out at UT Golf Club is where I practice, and everybody else there who's just so supportive of me over the years, and they're just all so great. And then also, sorry.
That's good.
Coach Lee, who's our high school coach, is his first year at Vandegrift, and he's been so great and so supportive. And he really helps me just, like, calm down when I'm on the course and I start to freak out if I hit some shot that I didn't like. So, and obviously my teammates, you know, I love them, and they've been so great. And I'm so glad that we have so much more time with everybody. So, yeah. Okay. There's lots of people to be grateful for.
That's what's up. Well, congratulations. I'm going to tell my homegirl, her name is Bentley Cotton. She used to play like
Yeah, I love
Bentley. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. That's my homegirl.
So cool.
She is. Yeah, she plays at Texas. I think they just made the Nationals, I believe. So, anyway.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, see, I know my golf. See, we're Flex is going golf even harder next year. And Mimi going to be there. Mimi, thank you so much. We appreciate you. That was a great interview. Mimi Burton, write that name down, superstar. Thank you. Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you.
Vandy Perf is a Flex. Zach?
Nolan, you're the resident golf expert. What are your thoughts?
Shout out to her, man. Like, golf is so hard. Like, I play, like, maybe, like, I play, like, once a week. But
Recreationally,
exactly. I go out there, and I can't hit three balls in a row straight. Like, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And I have so much respect for people that can take it to a higher level and take it to the college and the pro level. It's just insane to me.
She might be like Tiger Woods, you know, like Tiger Woods, you know, his dad was like immediately like, you're going to play golf, and he just winds up as a phenom. So who knows? Maybe she'll one day make $100 million.
Ball striker.
Yeah, ball striker. And she's like, oh, Flex, here you go. Here's a million. Here you go. Do something good for yourself.
That's what I always think about basketball, too, is like the difference between someone that's like really good at basketball and then someone that like recreationally plays basketball is like they shoot it and they hope it goes in. As opposed to like shooting it and know
it's 100% going in,
because of your mechanics. Okay,
same as golf. She hits it and knows where it's going to go.
Yeah, whereas she knows how much spin she's putting on it. Yep. And
oh, what a beast mode!
Insane.
And she was saying like her shoes were old. So I'm like, you know, and I think they were the Flymax Zip. I'm getting because I want like some black bottoms. I thought those were cool. Anyway, I digress. Can we pay some bills? Yes, and come back finish up with the Warrior SQT talk. It's been a fun show, but we only got like 20 minutes left. So
CC.
We'll be back. It's a Flex.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell.
Hey, you know the deal. It's Thursday night. Flex ATX, final segment of the show.
Yeah.
Final segment, best segment, my favorite segment. We finally have Nolan Hogan back in here with us to help us out with the Instagram Live segment. Before we get to that, I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach A. Wack on all social media. Now producing, man of many talents, Mr. Nolan Hogan. Say what's up if you can.
I don't know if he can.
What's up, Robin? Y'all hear me?
Oh, yeah.
We can hear you.
We can hear. Hey, and Trevor said you look small, Zach.
Oh, that's jacked up.
Call Flex ATX. Don't make me flex. But now sitting across from me, it's the GOAT himself. I already feel better at media coverage just sitting next to him. Mr. Snoop Daniel himself.
All right, so Warrior SQT, Saturday, not tomorrow, Saturday. First game is at 8:30. Westwood versus Lehman, Anderson versus Rouse. Of that matchup, of those two matchups, the one that intrigues me the most would be Anderson versus Rouse. You're going to have a team of the Rouse Raiders who made it to the state quarterfinals last year, losing to Liberty Hill. Actually, that was the regional finals, not state quarterfinals, against Liberty Hill. They got a great quarterback in Mason Shorb. They got wide receivers. They got Troy Oliver. They got athletes all over the field for Rouse. And Anderson, because you don't have to have a young lineman, I think we'll see Fred Dale get a chance to prove himself as maybe a forgotten man last year because he had so much trouble being protected with a young line in 11-5A play. Maybe Summer Sevens gets him back on track. And I really think if Anderson is able to upset Rouse in that first game, Trojans might have a chance to make it back to College Station.
Really, really quick, Snoop.
Yeah.
In the chat, shout out Frida Cruz. She's at the Cedar Ridge San Antonio Reagan baseball game right now. Right? That's right.
Yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's there. So Frida, if you have any score updates,
yes,
post it in the chat. And also look out for us on Saturday. We'll be at the Round Rock location of the Westwood SQT, where she will be as well, covering Cedar Ridge. Trevor Hines, big things coming Saturday. And then shout out Anderson. This person said Anderson game. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What game? They're probably my baseball.
Well, baseball game. Anderson Trojans are playing right now.
So we'll try to get any updates on that if we can find them online. And then a good question for you, Snoop, before we get back to 7-on-7 talk. This comes from Priya Smith Productions. What was the main goal behind Flex from the beginning?
To do the same thing you're doing, Priya. Just to do it differently. Just to be super candid. To do something that was a little bit more catered to young people. You know, high school sports, I always say, like the really dope journalists, they usually go to the NFL, the NBA, college, etc. And normally, like a lot of times, it leaves maybe the less swaggy, talented broadcasters, journalists to cover high school sports. So if anybody's going to do lit coverage, which is what young people want, it's going to have to come from young kids or younger energied people. And really, that was the inspiration behind it. Just having fun and covering sports. That's really it. And Priya, we probably need to work together. Your game is on point as far as your production. So we need to collaborate one day, for sure. She does a great job with Hayes.
Keegan McBride said, come to McNeil. Snoop will be at the Westwood State UT, yep, covering some McNeil. And then Frida said, shout out Cedar Ridge Baseball. Shout out to Frida for all her Cedar Ridge coverage.
What's the score,
the
Frida?
Years. Yes, what's the score, Frida?
Jackson Collins should be the starting quarterback on Saturday when McNeil competes in the Warrior SQT. They'll be at the Westwood practice field. Their first game will be against Hendrickson. McNeil, like low-key, they have a lot of returning players. When you talk about Jarvis Anderson, who's not only an outstanding receiver that broke out last year, but also just a great story being hearing impaired, but he also is so athletic. He competed in the UIL State Tournament just this past weekend. So a special player. You know, I want to say with Coach Hermes, the former – was he D coordinator or O coordinator?
Defense.
Okay, so – for me, like McNeil's offense, I think is going to be fine. But their defense is always usually the culprit of them not winning very many district games. Hermes is more of a defensive-minded player. But for me personally, on the surface, I still see more gifted players playing on the offensive side than defense.
Well, if you want to talk about a sort of culprit for McNeil football is injuries. That's really been the main thing for them. So if Coach Hermes can have a season where the majority of his team are the big-time players and his team stay healthy, I think that's a program that he can turn around for sure. Trevor asked you, what's been your favorite sporting moment to cover so far with Flex?
Wow. Flex has only been around a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Like, I could say Westlake winning state. I could say Cedar Park winning state. I think all those are super obvious. Dripping Springs winning state. Those are too obvious. I got to say, Westwood soccer winning district against Stony Point. They got so lit that they broke the district championship trophy. Celebrating. Guillermo Ruiz was running it up to the crowd, and then it just got kind of batted around, and then the ball just fell off the top of it. That was probably, I know, like, as weird as it was and as random of a game it was, that was probably my favorite. You know what? Hendrickson beating Weiss Another big one. It was 49-48 in overtime. So it's tied up, 42-all, going into extras. Hendrickson comes out, scores a touchdown, extra point. Weiss answers with a touchdown, decides to go for two, and they don't get it. That was pretty lit.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about this year of flex is there's been some crazy stuff happen. I mean, you couldn't script a better first year in terms of the moments, in terms of the accomplishments for an area to cover that the Austin area has really kind of gifted us this as we're trying to start a brand new media outlet.
Yeah, real quick, but before we move on, for McNeil, if you still want to hear about McNeil, Mark Hinkey and Joseph Patterson are coming up at receiver, and then I'm assuming Aaron Crow will be there this weekend playing DB. Luke Hutchinson will not play. Jarvis Anderson, I think he'll play. I hope we get to see Caleb Cooper. Shout out to McNeil. They didn't win a game last year, but that's how flex roll. We still down with y'all.
Would you predict not going winless this year?
Can't promise that. But I think they should come closer to winning a game. You know, I think that they might have a chance against Del Valle, and I don't want to be throwing Del Valle under the bus. But Del Valle lost a lot. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked to see Del Valle have an even better season than they've had before, just based on, I think, maybe a lot of egos out of there right. And Coach Acosta. So anyway, I digress.
A couple more questions. How do you feel about Liberty Hill this year?
10-0 in regular season. That includes them beating LBJ. I don't know. I would say 9-1 at the worst. And I think if they did lose, it would be to LBJ.
And I think a program like that, when you lose your quarterback, normally you're like, oh my gosh, we lost our quarterback. What are we going to do? But the offense is catered to just
run. Well, John Long is just a freshman.
But that offense is so catered to almost like plug and play. That quarterback position means so much there. But as long as you can understand the offense and make the right decisions, it caters to athletes. It's not necessarily you need an Elite 11 guy that has all these big time 6'6", everything like that. If you're an athlete and you can understand the offense, which those kids that end up being quarterback at Liberty Hill have been dreaming of that moment forever. So they know that offense. So it wouldn't surprise me to have a quick turnaround for Liberty Hill.
God, I forgot Liberty Hill plays Georgetown week 3. I really like I love their defense. Caden McMahon, Andon Thomas, etc. They got some beasts. It'll be fun. What's next?
Another question.
Rocket Hudson.
From I Am Shifty, and with a bunch of underscores. Ask me about the Fredericksburg SQT.
Oh damn. That's something. You know what? We need to cover
how
that
cool,
more.
How cool is that, though, this year?
That 4A has their own.
Those smaller kind of things.
We probably need to go out there because LBJ, remember, they made the state tournament for sevens the last time we played. It was when, who was quarterback? It wasn't Oscar. Who was quarterback for them? I cannot believe I'm blanking on that. But when Andrew McCuba and all them were breaking out, LBJ made the state a sevens tournament and then made the championship bracket. So to see them in 4A, I would think that LBJ should dominate. I mean, when you add Caleb Brown, the Gilliam guy from Del Valle, I mean, LBJ, they also got Keelan, the receiver from Weiss also now goes to LBJ. And they got Cedric Alexander. I feel LBJ.
They almost have more firepower than when they were in 5A.
I think they're a super team. And yes, more firepower than they were when
a
they were 5A.
A super team at a 4A
at
level
a 4A.
Is crazy. Because you don't see that.
You don't
see that. You don't see those kind of offers at 4A unless you're Alito.
Fatu Makuba, Andrew Makuba's little brother, class of 24, he's on the come up. I could really talk about this for a while.
Couple more questions. Trevor says, nice video work, Nolan. So shout out, Trevor.
Yeah. Bro, my arm's getting tired over here.
Hey, no, you're good. Bring it in here. I'll hold it.
Oh, no, we're good. I was kidding.
Sure. And D Springs, real quick, Snoop, because I know real quick you like to go off. Thoughts on Pflugerville. We talked Pflugerville baseball. What about Pflugerville football?
Well, they're going to be emotionally motivated with the passing of Jalen Reeves' parents over this this COVID break, which is just the most heartbreaking story. Like, you know, and I know like the passing of Jackson Coker, Jake Ellinger, and Willie Simmons, et cetera. But, I mean, not really a lot of people talked about, you know, what happened with Jalen. So I think with Des Dez Thomas out of the picture. He has this is his complete team. You have EJ Okmon coming back. Now he goes by Deuce Okmon, by the way, playing both sides of the ball. You get Jake Iloka in his second year. You have secondary players like Deion Springs, like Colton Williams, who hopefully take that next step. So in 11-5A, I often talk about Weiss, Georgetown, Cedar Park. It's going to be a scrap for that fourth spot. Pflugerville's going to challenge for it, but can they beat Maynard again? Can they beat Weiss? Can they beat Leander? Right. Leander's on the comeback. So 11-5A is tough, man. Nobody's guaranteed.
Another question, a question that I guarantee you no one else that covers high school football can answer the way you can. What are your thoughts on, do you think Marble Falls will be able to hang in there in district this year? The comment right under that says Marble Falls is dog water. So not a lot of faith in Marble Falls.
No. Well, okay, so Marble Falls did change up their offense. They now run the slot T. I know Liberty Hill kind of smashed them last year, and they made fun of them because they run a similar offensive set. But now, year two, nobody expected Marble Falls to push for the playoffs last year, so... nothing is out. And in the district they're in, playing against, I'm not saying, but like Travis High School and Navarro and, you know, and Northeast to a degree, because Northeast is no pushover anymore. I think they have an easier path to do well. We'll just see if Coach Herman can help them make that next step.
Shout out Bram Bowen on Marble Falls, this comment. What are your thoughts on Caleb Burton transferring to Lake Travis? What do you think? What do you think that does in terms of the Battle of the Lakes?
I think Lake Travis overall talent wise is deeper than Westlake, and I think that the Westlake DBs are definitely younger. I mean, you graduated Maru and Mookie Taff. You do have Carter Barksdale coming back, but when you're playing Chernet Estes across from Caleb Burton, you know, theoretically, and you have Bird in the slot and everybody else is coming up for LT, I think, like, Caleb just makes everybody else around him better, and I think LT, they could reclaim the mantle as the number one Austin area team this year. Even though there's somebody coming back that's going for three championships in a row, I just think there's more coming back that we know of with LT.
Final question from me. Start, bench, cut. Garrett Wilson, Braylon James as a senior, so you're projecting him, and Che Nwapku.
I don't think you can put Che in that group because he's not. Well, he is a receiver, God, but he's so much like.
I think Che is. I had a talk with Tyler Herrick earlier today. In terms of track numbers,
and we got to wrap up too.
In terms of track numbers, Che is like world class. Speed, and schools look for that now.
Yes. Oh yeah. You don't need to be.
Better question: do you think Che and Braylon both can end up the caliber recruit that Garrett Wilson was?
Oh man.
I think they're both trending that way.
They're trending that way. Garrett Wilson was, I mean, you had to have seen him play to know, like, because he is not 6'3", but he would make the most acrobatic catches that I've ever seen in my life. Like, and he was very deceptive. He would go up, like, and his arms would be dangling by his side, and he would jump up and then catch the ball near his hip. I mean, like a magician, like, and really deking the DB. So we're going to see a lot more Braylon on Saturday, so we'll know a little more. And Che, you know, like I said.
Does Maynard normally do 7-on-7?
They haven't been. Oh. Not state sevens, which is baffling to me. Okay, we're way out of time.
Great show. Nolan, thank you for recording, as always.
Yeah, thanks, Nolan.
Shout out all my Gs. Shout out God. Shout out gang. Shout out Nolan. Shout out Trevor. Shout out all the iReporters in the chat. Shout out everyone in the chat for jumping on and asking questions. Snoop.
Yeah, shout out to everybody performing or participating in the show tonight. Great guest. And to the Warrior SQT 16 teams. We'll see y'all Saturday. We'll see y'all Saturday. I'm tired. Nolan, shouts, and then we'll get out.
Shout out my fam. Shout out my dog. Shout out Isabella Vasquez. She's asking, when is Flex getting a hand symbol like fan stand? When we should, I think it's the putting your arm up and flexing.
Yeah, I think
show
it
the
is.
Muscles, Isabella.
People still do this. I mean, you know, like, oh man, this is, we'll talk way past 9 o'clock talking about this, but we aren't going to force anything. It'll be organic. No, the kids will decide. This is not about us. This is about them. keep looking up. That's where